in this match.
If it's a war, you can say whatever you want.
I thought it was a cult. I didn't know what was going on.
The Fed did. I think New York did.
One of your executive vice presidents loves that company.
It's the first ever finishing move that's exclusive to a promotion.
Advantage.
By the time you're listening to this, it is officially May.
Is it?
Yeah. Tomorrow, Friday is May 1st.
Oh, yeah. One of those 30 days has September, April, June, November kind of things.
Yeah. So I guess you realize we are recording this on Thursday, April 30th, but by the time you hear it, whether you listen to it on Friday or whenever, it'll be at least be May. So, yeah, there's that.
And we will be retweeting about a story that comes out in just about an hour.
Probably, because that's how shit goes.
Yep. Because that's just how it goes with us. How you doing? Better week for me.
So, I've been kayfabing you about this. Because I want to hear your reaction to this on air. Because I want to know if I'm just really stupid. Or like...
Oh, I'm excited.
Okay. So, I was rewatching one of your favorite matches. The Fatal 4-Way Intercontinental Title match from Extreme Rules 2016. Sami Zayn, Cesaro, Kevin Owens, and The Miz, right?
Yes.
So, what's the name of Cesaro's finisher?
The Destroyer or the Swing?
Not the Swing.
The Destroyer.
No, it's the Neutralizer.
Or the Neutralizer, yes.
Why is it called the Neutralizer?
I don't know why.
Because Switzerland's a neutral country.
Oh, fuck you.
No, that's the reason.
That is why. Isn't it?
Okay, so it's not just me.
Oh my God, that is why.
I just realized it. I'm like, oh my God, holy shit.
Who thought of that? Because Vince doesn't even know Switzerland
Cesaro,
exists.
Dude, he's the king of puns.
That's phenomenal.
I was like, holy shit.
He's also the king of swing.
Yeah, he is.
That's a great match, though, isn't it?
It is.
You relived it?
Yeah.
That was a great show.
It was a very good show.
I believe that was also a Roman and an AJ, right?
It was Roman and AJ, too.
With Seth return. Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah, Roman and AJ, I remember they had two really good matches.
But, dude, it fucking blew my mind. It's called the Neutralizer because Switzerland's neutral.
Yeah, it's not the Dominator. I'm an idiot.
You said Destroyer.
Destroyer. It's not Destroyer. I meant Dominator, but that's also wrong.
But dude, doesn't that fucking blow your mind?
It does.
It's the Neutralizer.
Fuck you, Claudio.
Switzerland is neutral.
Go back to Reading, Pennsylvania.
But yeah,
we got
an interesting show for you this. I almost said this evening, but maybe it is evening when you're listening to this.
I don't know. I completely forget to post the shows anymore. So
that's the glory of podcasts. You can listen to it whenever the fuck you feel like. So, here's what we got for you.
Well, think about it. If you're listening it somewhere, it's definitely evening somewhere.
That's true.
So, we're technically are releasing in the evening somewhere.
Yeah, that's very true. So, we'll be talking about the state of WWE in terms of pop culture and, like, mainstream. I guess mostly America, because that's kind of what this is talking about. But
I agree with you, and I think it's a great conversation to have.
Yeah.
But it's the source of it, where this all started.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Is a little bizarre.
Yes.
And an absolute fallacy.
We'll talk about a rumor that I completely don't agree with.
Or neither do I, but we can throw some what-ifs.
Yeah, sure. It's always fun to play the what-if game. More releases. This keeps going. And we'll talk about releases in two different scenarios. Then we'll talk about Amanda Nunes, what she teased about her possible future and how we feel about it. We'll talk about AEW Running Back Live, how we feel about it, a potential Ring of Honor and AEW working relationship. And then, of course, you got the War Report and the whole enchilada, the main event. Bigger. Badder.
Meaner.
We officially announced the participants for the Mean Guy Classic 2. We will let you know what the format is this year, and we'll let you know the 64 men that will be competing.
These are men.
In the Mean Guy Classic.
None of these people are boys.
No.
These are absolute men.
These are men. These are men, menly men. Two and a half men. No.
Marco Stunt isn't here. But
that's
very
fair.
But yeah, I'm actually excited for this show. There's a lot of fun things to talk about.
Yeah, so we will tell you about our friends at Anchor. Then we will get right into it. So to kick off the news, we have an interesting discussion. I don't know if it's going to be a debate because I don't know where you stand on this and I kind of don't even know where I stand on it. It's kind of...
I actually have a very clear... When you said get ready for your stance,
yeah.
I thought about it for 5 minutes, and I have my stance.
Okay, so we should backtrack and get to the tweet that started all of this. And I'll give a little context after I read the tweet, because if you're not from America, context might be important in this whole deal.
Yes.
So, on Saturday evening, Brian Alvarez got the ratings for Friday night. He tweeted, SmackDown, 2.014 million, slaughtered against the NFL draft. So to put that in perspective, night two of the NFL draft got 15.6 million viewers. It was on ABC, ESPN, and the NFL Network. And
now, how does ratings work with that?
I think they got 15.6 million just on ABC. I'm not sure because there's no way Brian's in the wrestling bubble. There's no way he knows on three networks.
Yes, but I feel like it's also makes more sense to put up the two network channels against each other.
Yeah.
So maybe just on ABC.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking the 15.6 million was just on ABC.
Okay.
And to put that in perspective, due to the current climates, that is the highest rated second night of the draft in history. The first night on ABC did 23 million. So if you're not from America, obviously the NFL, National Football League, it's our country's biggest sport by a country mile.
The juggernaut of...
Yeah,
it's the biggest thing to ever happen anywhere. Like, it's the most popular thing ever.
And, yeah.
Is that fair to say?
In America, yeah.
Like, sure. We differ on politics very, very deeply, but everybody loves
football. Everyone loves football, yeah.
Everyone.
Yeah.
You will find every social, economic, ethnic class that loves football.
And even if they don't love football, they still, like, watch.
Are aware of it.
Yeah, they still watch because it's, like, a cultural event.
Yeah, it's, like, the Super Bowl. Every Super Bowl is the most watched event in history.
Yeah, yeah. So I kind of see Brian's point. Like, there's no way around it. SmackDown was slaughtered by, and we should point it out, on a normal year, rounds two and three of the draft would get nowhere near this viewership.
Yeah.
But it's the fact that people are craving live sports. And
like, that's our hope. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Although this wasn't...
Football's our hope right now. We had the NBA championship ruined. Or not the NBA championship. The NBA rest of the season and playoffs ruined. I'll get there. And our teams were in contention. So, yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, that kind of sucks.
Although, they did roll out a new plan, so who knows
what's going to happen. I still don't think that'll happen. But MLB is canceled. Baseball, the original pastime. Jesus, everything. Hockey, it was just... Every other niche sport, although NBA is not niche as much as baseball.
No, NBA kind of is. Raw beat...
NBA is a juggernaut.
Raw beats the NBA.
Does it?
Yeah.
What channel is NBA on Mondays?
TNT, usually.
That's why.
Well...
And,
I'm just saying.
No, I'm just putting it out there.
I mean, like, if we're going to call WWE niche, then the NBA is kind of niche.
Okay. Football, hardcore NBA fandom is a niche. Yes. Everybody kind
of
likes the NBA.
Yeah. Well, same thing with wrestling. There's a lot of casual wrestling fans.
And we'll get to
my
stance there.
That's irrelevant.
Like, football was our hope. Like, we could still have football. A full football season. My Eagles, your Rams, Lindsay's Patriots, Ron's Bengals, Chris's 49ers, and Gil's Ravens. Like, that's we can still have that.
Yeah.
College football. The greatest sport in America is college football. And we're still hoping for that. So everybody's interested to see how this goes. And a lot of people watch the draft anyway. But, like, I just don't – like, WWE is still popular. Don't get me wrong. But the NFL is the biggest juggernaut in the history of entertainment consumerism. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So I'm just going to read some of these replies because this is how the discussion – I'm not going to credit anyone's names or anything because – Okay, so this first reply. So Brian and Dave play the asshole heel online so they get more publicity, get more subscriptions. Great tactic.
Possible.
Did anything not get slaughtered versus the NFL draft? Brian attacking WWE any way he can. He wants WWE failing, not realizing his entire job is thanks to WWE. What about the key demo? This dude's supposed to be a journalist with the bias. He'd fit in great in CNN or MSNBC.
Oh, so, good one.
So the replies to this are very divisive, and that kind of got me thinking, like, what is the state of WWE and... Pro wrestling in general, not just WWE, in mainstream pop culture.
I can wrap it up in one sentence.
Okay.
It's fallen out of mainstream pop culture and into quote-unquote nerd culture, but nerd culture is bigger now than it ever was. So you really can't see the drop in level. Like, it moved from, you know, on NBC, Hogan 86, everywhere, to a more niche market, but that market right now is bigger than it ever was. Like, like I said, same thing with all, like, Avengers. Like, 20 years ago, that's nerd culture.
Yeah,
everybody has seen the Avengers.
20 years ago, you would have got a wedgie for talking about superheroes. You know what I mean? Yeah. Now everyone loves it.
Yes. So, I mean, I just feel like we haven't noticed a big drop-off because that side of the Venn diagram got bigger. And in the middle is wrestling. I still think I'm going to show you a visual, which is terrible radio, but There is nerd culture, not nerd culture.
He's drawing a Venn diagram, people.
And wrestling's in there somewhere.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. it's right in the middle. It's a crossover, which makes it so great.
It's almost like people like me, like, I'm going to be honest, I really don't give a shit about Marvel or any of that. I'm kind of like the rare, like, you know what I mean? I'm in the minority now.
Yeah, but like, wrestling's your thing.
Yeah.
Like, there's something out there for literally everybody, which is a good and a bad thing.
But my point is, like, I'm agreeing with your stance. Like,
yeah.
I'm in the minority that I like pro wrestling, but I'm not into, like, comics or anime or any of that. Because, like, now, seems like more than ever, those two are...
Yeah, I'm not into anime either. I have nothing against it.
I have not.
If you like it, that's you.
If you like Marvel and DC and anime and that's your thing,
like,
cool.
I'm a big movie guy.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, anime does nothing for me. But it does something for some people. But all this got put into that one side of the Venn diagram, but... That's bigger now than it ever was. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, wrestling was the thing. It was like NBA and wrestling. It's not even the NFL.
Yeah.
Was because, I mean, you had Bird and Magic. The NFL was still there, and it was not the juggernaut it is today.
No, hell no.
But I think that's where we stand with it, because it's not pop culture anymore, but nerd niche culture is bigger than it ever was, if that makes any sense. See, like, and you still have, and there's our perfect definition of a casual fan. Like, because you could say, oh, John Cena, Stone Cold, like, is that kind of, like, when we're talking about Shingo and Okada and Cody, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The deeper, there is some wrestling that still exists.
I love the jab that you threw Cody in there.
What do you mean? I didn't throw a jab, I just, oh, okay, yeah. That was actually accidental, but it worked out in my favor. But, there's still that side of the Venn diagram where it is pop culture, where older fans might do it. But when you're going down a deeper dive, that's in the nerd culture. So it is in the middle of that Venn diagram, and it does reach everybody.
I tend to agree with that. But see, like, my whole thing is, I really don't know where it is. Because if you look at the numbers, they're hemorrhaging viewers. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like, the 2 million on SmackDown, and I know you're going to have something to say, but please just let me finish first.
No, I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to tell you why it's like that.
So SmackDown 2 million was the lowest number they've done since they moved to Fox. But at the same time, not necessarily for Fox, but for Raw. Like, Raw did 1.82 million this past Monday, which is the lowest non-holiday number in history. But still, it was numbers 2, 3, and 5 on cable for the night. So, like, I don't know what the fuck that means. They're clearly hemorrhaging viewers. It's the lowest numbers of all time. But still, it's towards the top of the chart. So, like... I really don't know where the fuck, like, is it, obviously people are changing the ways they consume content, and I'm not, like, this isn't me trying to defend WWE, I literally don't know where it's at in pop culture, because it's still near the top of the charts, but does being near the top of the charts mean anything when it's less than, you know, 2 million people?
But a bad wrestling audience is a good audience for any other show. People, the numbers we're talking about is a good audience for any other show.
I mean, you know what number one was, right? Love and Hip Hop.
Love and Hip Hop.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, that's number one. It's pretty much number one every week.
Is it? Yes. I don't pay attention.
That's
to
what I mean. Rates, it's like I don't fucking, like...
I don't get it, but
when
Raw's
competing for audience numbers with Love and Hip Hop...
But I don't think anything, like... I'll put it this way, and this is not political, but news viewership has dropped between 35 and 50% in the last 5 years. Did the local news get between 35 and 50% different or the worse?
I think it did.
But I mean, it's the same thing.
Wait, local news or national news?
Local news.
Yes. No, local news has gotten so much worse. Please trust me.
We have the best news station in the world. You just don't work for it. But
they've gotten worse too. Their new graphics suck.
But it's still the news. It's not reaching anybody different than it was.
But see, no, our younger generation, like, I don't watch them. I didn't grow up watching.
Exactly. There's something you can watch. I'm watching right now Black Mirror on Netflix. Excellent show. Strongly recommend.
It is a good show.
But there's just something out there for everybody. Like, I'll go back to a Joe Rogan quote. I listened to his podcast with Chris D'Elia. And he said, like, remember how Lost was a juggernaut?
Yeah.
It was the biggest show ever. And right now it pales in comparison to the finale of Game of Thrones. The finale of The Walking Dead. I don't even know what season they're in because I never watch it. Because zombies do nothing for me. The finale of Breaking Bad. People get their shit differently. And I just don't think there's a proper medium to measure that. But I do think that WWE has fallen out of the mainstream more to the niche culture, which is also bigger than it ever was, and we're still in the Venn diagram, middle of the Venn diagram.
But isn't it, I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you at all, but isn't it fascinating how that's happened when now they're on Fox, they're getting coverage on ESPN, like they're getting more quote-unquote mainstream coverage than ever, yet they're falling out of the mainstream, like...
Yeah, it's
bizarre. I'm not disagreeing with you, but it's just so backwards.
Even if are they, because we just don't have a medium to measure it.
I mean, we can look at YouTube.
Like, how many people kind of pay attention?
That's a good question.
You know what I'm saying?
But see, my concern is, do you think this empty arena match is empty arena shit that's been going on since the end of March? Do you think that has the potential to run off people and like not bring them back? Because I think it definitely does. Like, I could see people tuning out and just, you know, finding something else and never tuning back in.
It's possible.
I think that's a legitimate concern.
It's possible, and if they're concerned, I mean, they're rightfully concerned about it. I don't think it's that big of a deal, but they have to make sure the product's good when we get fans back. Because you know people are going to flock to arenas. The crowds are going to be wild. Every show, every promotion, for the first month after all this is over.
And I think the fact that viewership has tanked in an era where there are no sports tells you what the mainstream thinks about wrestling.
But I don't even think it's the mainstream, because we're not in that. And we are in that niche.
Do you remember the first empty arena show on Fox? The rating was, like, very good. It was 2.56 million. It was, like, the second highest number on Fox ever. And then it's tanked every week since. So that tells me that...
And I got to say, SmackDown's been better.
And that tells me that... Yeah, but that's a whole different conversation.
Yeah.
That tells me that a quote-unquote, you know, people that were feasting for sports of some kind tuned in... And then they must have said, well, this is all bullshit, and they just, you know.
Or they were just interested to see how it was done, because they believed that was the first empty arena show on television, right?
Yeah.
So say 500,000 of them are interest viewers.
But they didn't do anything to keep those guys.
No, but they probably weren't coming back anyway.
I don't know. See, like, I'm not saying you're wrong, but yeah, I don't know the answer.
There's no proper medium to measure it, I don't think.
I mean, you can look at YouTube views. YouTube views are strong, but... A lot of people watching.
I still think they're like the third or fourth highest subscribed YouTube channel. I don't know.
Yeah, they're up there. But a lot of people watch on YouTube because they don't feel like sitting through a 3-hour or 2-hour SmackDown.
And I'll watch shit on YouTube. So, like, I get counted into that.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. But I definitely think there is concern that, especially with SmackDown, because, like, Raw, I think Raw will always be okay because, like,
I said it when it happened. Moving SmackDown to Friday was a mistake.
Moving it to any day was a... No, SmackDown was fucked when... The first time they moved from Thursday to Friday, back to Thursday to Tuesday to Friday.
I don't know. When it first got on Tuesday, it did well for a little bit.
No, because people get in routines. People are used to watch... Like, you watch football every Sunday. You watch football every Monday. If there was just an NFL game on Wednesday for whatever reason, it would throw you off. People are used to watching Raw every Monday night since 1993. It's never changed. It's changed channels a couple times. They've added an extra hour. The time slot has changed. It went from 1 hour to 2 hours to 3 hours. But it's always been Monday night Raw. So that's why I think Raw has always had somewhat strong numbers until...
Cause they are currently sixth in highest YouTube subscriptions. But, like, the number one by a mile in their field. Listen to what's before them. T-Series, I don't know what that is.
PewDiePie has to be in front of them, right?
He's two.
Okay, I figured.
He has 104.
I know nothing about YouTube, but I know who he is.
Coco Melon Nursery Rhymes has 80 million subscribers.
Excuse me?
Set India, it's all Indian companies, has 70 million subscribers.
Well, 1.3 billion people, brother.
5 Minute Crafts.
I've heard of that.
And then WWE. And then Canal Conzilla, which I'm not even sure what that is. It's a Portuguese music thing.
That's impressive.
And then Z Music Company, Justin Bieber, Like Nasty, I don't even know what these, that's a Russian thing.
And this isn't me trying to discredit them, but how many of that is people that subscribed in 2006 that like don't even care anymore, but just, you know, they never unsubscribe because...
But like I said, there's no way to gauge it. And I think that's a concern. Like, back when all this wasn't, it was easy. Like, when ratings mattered in the Monday Night War, because that's when they did, because he was watching shows. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, there's only one way to watch shows. Like, the internet wasn't capable to put out these things like that
anymore. Yeah. Well, we don't have weekly. We obviously don't have weekly numbers of network subscribers, but at the last report, it was under a million in the U.S. for, like, the first time since, like, the first month the network released. So that sure as shit isn't a good sign.
No, it isn't. But, like, it's just a long-term game that we won't know we're at the end to until we're at the end. You know what I'm saying?
But we'll never be at the end. It's an endless cycle.
Yeah, it's just, it's a bizarre thing that I just don't know where we fall anymore. But I think I wrapped it up very well in saying wrestling has fallen into nerd culture, but nerd culture now is bigger than it ever was.
Yeah, I mean, I could agree with that, but I don't know. It's just, we're at a weird spot, and it's just like, I do think everyone bickering with each other about the companies and all that shit is like, I mean, it's not helping. If you don't want to watch WWE, that's fine. If you don't want to watch AEW, that's fine. But the truth is, and I know WWE marks won't admit this, and AEW marks won't admit this either, they kind of need each other.
Oh, I think one needs the other one much more.
Really?
Yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, WWE technically doesn't need competition. Obviously, they've lived years without competition.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think them having that competition is good for everybody.
Me too, but I'm talking about the other one.
I know you're talking about the other one.
But not even in a bad way, though. Like, the XFL and the Alliance needed NFL viewers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the relationship they have. And dropouts of one go to the other, make the other one better. Rising ship, what's the phrase? Growing tide rises all ships? A rising tide rises all ships?
Yeah.
Wherever the fuck it is, but I don't know, it's bizarre, and I'm glad we had this conversation, and I'm hoping somebody reaches out to us with their opinion, because that's a real fun conversation to have. So, do you got anything else on that?
No, I just kind of want to hear what your thoughts were. It's just,
I agree with you, but I think, am I wrong to say it's a nerd culture now? I don't know.
No, you're definitely right.
And I'm not saying nerd culture as any.
No, I know you're not using it as a disparaging term. I don't think anybody insinuated that. But it's, so I guess my main question to wrap it up, do you think there should be some concern?
Yes.
I do too.
Yes.
No, I'm not saying like hit the fucking red button panic level.
No, but like,
but I definitely think there has to be like,
like, keep it on the stove, keep it warm,
it's,
you know what I'm saying?
It's been a trend, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it's been a trend for years.
It's, viewership has consistently dropped. It's not like we've hit a plateau yet. It's just,
but even, like, when they were bad, they were still getting a ton of viewers. Like, it's now when I think both companies are pretty good.
Yeah, I mean,
like, wrestling has never been better than it is right now, I don't think, with talent-wise, with roster-wise.
Yeah, no, never.
But now we're, like, we're suffering the worst viewership ever? Like, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't align. There's a missing link in there somewhere that's causing this, or is filtering it at least, and that's why we're here.
I just think it's, I don't want to say the mainstream, but I think, like, most people look down on wrestling more than ever before, and I'm really not sure why.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
because everybody's pretentious cunts now. Everybody.
I know, like, when I was watching, so my one buddy, you know who he is. If SummerSlam happens, he's coming with us.
Okay.
But I was watching SmackDown with him the one week, and his parents happened to be there because we're, you know, all just chilling, drinking at his parents' house because I was helping him move some shit because he just bought a house.
Did he really?
Yeah. Yeah, he bought a house in Kingston, dude.
Oh, I thought he had an apartment down there.
He did, but he just bought a house.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
I love him. He's the most interesting person in the world. He should go to be the next Dos Equis guy.
Yeah, yeah, he had an apartment in Kingston, now he bought a house in Kingston. But anyway, I was at his house helping him move shit and whatever. And I'm like, hey, it's 8 o'clock. Let's put SmackDown on. So we put it on, and, like, his parents are just, you know, being every anti-wrestling person ever, tearing everything apart. Now, granted, there was Braun Strowman on A Moment of Bliss, so I would have tore it apart, too. But you know what I mean? Like, they wouldn't even give it a chance. And I think that's just how most of the mainstream is.
And you know who the blame is? You know who's the blame?
Who?
Us. Not me and you specifically, but people doing this. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's when there's a review on every single fucking thing to ever come out,
yeah,
your opinions are going to be swayed.
Yeah,
like, we're lucky we were in since we were kids.
Yeah,
but I understand why getting into it now would be different.
I don't want to say it's impossible, but it's tough, because once you have those preconceived notions for all those years, like that's when Ronda got shit on for her comments. But I thought, like, her, when she's compared, like, wrestling fandom to a cult and a religion, she was right, and she wasn't even saying
I don't think she was wrong at all.
She wasn't even saying it as a bad thing. She's just like,
it was weird coming from her.
She's just like, if you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. Yeah. And the only way it'll change is if someone opens your eyes.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's right. But I don't know. That's kind of, I guess that's where we'll end it. It's a weird.
Maybe we'll come back to that.
I think we should, but.
Maybe we could come back to that with a very, very deep dive, maybe through the history of ratings and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think we should, but we have a shit ton of news to get to.
Because I think that's a fun conversation.
Definitely ask. Looking at the pattern, it's interesting to see, like, I mean, you look at the 90s, like, fucking the shows were getting, like, 5 million viewers each. Now Raw and SmackDown and AEW and NXT, all of them together, are not even getting to 5 million.
Yeah, I know, but
it's weird.
Bizarre, but, like, there's Netflix and Hulu.
The I know, network, yeah. There's, the network. There's, like, more, people, there's more options than ever before. That's,
yeah, so, like, I just, you don't know where the scale is. Like,
which, I don't think anyone's expecting Raw and SmackDown to be pulling 6 million viewers each anymore, because it's just.
I think, what did the original This Is Your Life segment get? Well, like, 11 million viewers, wasn't it? Wasn't it something ridiculous?
Yeah, it was.
You find me anything but football getting 11 million viewers. So I'll talk for a minute because you're looking that up.
Yeah.
But going back to football, like we said, the NFL draft slaughtered everybody. And I believe that it was going to anyway.
Yeah, I don't think.
You could have brought back Tupac, like, live on television, and it would not have been that. You know what I'm saying? It's compare that to the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show in 1964. Like, it's just, we're clamoring for sports and we got it. I just don't think WWE or any wrestling for that matter.
It got an 8.4, which equates to a little under 10 million viewers.
That's insane.
And actually, it's the second highest. The highest was Stone Cold Steve Austin beating The Undertaker for the WWF title on June 28th, 1999, which did a 9.5 rating, which is 10.72 million viewers.
Jesus Christ. So that was after This Is Your Life, though,
yeah,
right?
There was 10.7 million viewers watching Raw on June 28th, 1999, when Steve Austin beat The Undertaker.
That's incredible. Yeah. That's incredible. You know what the average NFL is right now?
What's that?
16.7 million viewers.
And to put that in perspective, Raw was on cable while the NFL is on broadcast.
Yeah, on three different channels.
Yeah.
And, like, think about it. Football is so popular. Some of those are Bengals games, and some of those are Redskins games, and some of those are Giants games. Well, Giants, I can't count because they're absolute top-tier team, but I mean, fandom-wise.
And that's another thing you got to consider. Unless we're talking, like, Sunday night, Monday night football game, these games are only available in certain regions, yeah, and they're pulling those numbers.
Yeah, this football's a juggernaut. Yeah, it'll never be touched. We have our problems with Alvarez. That's just an idiotic tweet to even compare. But, like, he doesn't know, though.
Well,
like,
no, I don't. I think he was trying to give SmackDown an out. He just worded it very, very, very poorly.
Well, I hope, like, that's what it is.
Because that's what he claims. He claims he's trying to give SmackDown an out. But when you put slaughtered, you know what I
mean?
Yeah,
like,
you're giving that preconceived notion that you enjoy the fact that they got slaughtered.
Yeah. Not even that they enjoyed the fact. It's like they were so bad they got slaughtered by a draft.
I mean, they did get slaughtered. Yeah, they did. I think everyone expected them to get.
I want to see what was the nearest thing. SmackDown might have been number two.
Like, SmackDown, everything on everything.
I don't know. Blue Bloods is on, and millions and millions of people watch Blue Bloods for some reason.
Fox, it was rated lower than anything except what was on the CW, because the CW never pulls in.
I didn't know CW was still a channel.
Yeah,
what's on the Supernatural?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what was on.
Yeah,
but yeah, so, like, SmackDown's consistently the lowest of the low in network ratings.
Fridays,
but everything else is on Fridays too. You know what I mean?
But Blue Bloods has been on Fridays forever, and. Old people watch Blue Bloods. Well, that, I think that helps SmackDown for the demo, because what are younger people doing between 18 and 34 on Friday nights?
Usually going out.
They're usually out.
Yeah.
I'm out. I watch as much SmackDown as I can, and then I go out.
But nobody could go out right now. That's, yeah, you know what I mean? That's, like, part of why it's so concerning.
Yeah, I just. Let's put a pin in this.
Yeah, there's, like, so many layers we could dive
into. I would like to do an entire episode, but that's going to take a lot of planning.
Yeah, a lot of research.
We'll meet up one day and do that. But I really like that topic, and we should stay there.
All right, so let's leave that there for now. Like you said, we'll get back to that eventually. Now let's go to a rumor that I don't believe. I know you might. I don't know what your take on it is. You're kind of leaving me in the dark. So let's get into it. Dutch Mantel says that he heard from somebody.
Of all people.
I know. That's why. So Dutch Mantel heard from somebody that WWE is close to selling to either Fox or ESPN.
No.
Yeah, I agree. No. I agree.
I would understand Disney before Fox, because Fox don't want it, I don't think. Although, that would give Fox hell of a monopoly.
And
football and wrestling.
Well, doesn't Disney own part of Fox or something? There's some.
Fox Studios. Disney owns Fox Studios. Okay. Nothing to do with the network.
Okay.
Although, people in the news network are quite cartoonish. But, I think it's one thing, and some people think it's something else. Like,
I think maybe he's talking about pay-per-view rights. I could see that.
And he just didn't hear the pay-per-view rights part. Yes. And he's like, oh, Vince is sending the whole fucking thing. And now, could you sell a publicly traded company or just your shares?
Well, I mean, if he sold all his shares, he'd basically be selling the company because he's in control.
He's 51, right?
Yeah. So basically him selling all his shares would be him selling the company because whoever he sold it to would be majority shareholder, thus have final say in everything.
It won't happen. So, I mean, who the hell is going to book wrestling
if Disney buys it? The theory that I saw, which I also don't believe, is that Vince is... And I want to preface, I think this is bullshit, but this is the theory I saw. That Vince sees the numbers tanking and he wants to sell it so his legacy is preserved and he's not the guy that took WWE down to the depths.
That's not Vince's style.
And let's not forget that he almost put them out of business in like 1995. Shit was so bad. So it's not like he's taken them all the way to the depths before. You know what I mean? I see Vince as a guy who will go down with the ship. Like, fuck, he's in his fucking 70s and he doesn't want to retire. You know what I mean? Like when he came out on SmackDown, when he came out on SmackDown last week in that Triple H segment and he was stumbling over things, it was sad. It was.
Yeah, he looks like hell, too.
He was just burying, like, all the bad segments he ever did.
He was burying himself.
Yeah,
it was quite sad. Weird. This has broken him.
Yeah.
All this is broken. He had a bad month.
Yeah.
More lawsuits.
He got, I think, 3 more lawsuits popped up.
Yeah.
Ugh.
This might kill him.
It's hard to feel bad for the guy because he did bring it all on himself. He brought it all on himself.
He did, but not more than any other head of a corporation ever did.
Oh, yeah. No, every corporation is scummy. You know what I mean?
But two
wrongs don't make a right.
No, they don't. But I always had a soft spot for Vince. So, like, just seeing him broke my heart.
Of course. Like,
it was just...
We both grew up in the WWE. No matter, like... Neither of us are saying Vince is an angel. We know, like...
No, Vince won't say Vince is an angel.
If you're a religious man, odds are Vince is probably going to hell.
I'm not a religious man, and I think he's going to hell.
Yeah, it's like, you know...
But... I think for every bad story about him, there's one good one, too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, well, unless you know him, you're not going to know him.
Yeah.
You know, he kept his... Because people... When someone's in that position, if you think you've been slighted or wrong, you're going to talk shit.
Yeah.
Especially in this business. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you'll never... I don't think you'll know Vince unless you know Vince. The people close to him says he's great. So, I think...
All right, so Amanda Nunes says that she would have interest in WWE once her UFC run is over. And we should make it clear, WWE hasn't said whether they'd have interest in her or not. She just said she'd have interest in WWE. Would you like to see...
No.
Okay.
Stop doing this. Ronda made sense. Kane made sense.
We'll get to him. We'll get to him.
This can't become a thing. So don't let it become a thing.
Yeah, I mean, people like to talk...
But I don't know. I mean, I would give it a chance.
I saw someone compare how, like, what European soccer leagues are to the MLS, the UFC would become the WWE. Like, all the washed-up players going to play in the MLS is like, oh, all the washed-up UFC fighters coming to WWE, which you definitely don't want that reputation. We both talk about how WWE needs to find a way to be able to make their own stars.
I don't, like, I don't know if she's good or not. But, like, I just don't think you should rely on this. I mean, look elsewhere. Absolutely look elsewhere. Look at Moose. He was a pro bowler. All pro, I believe.
Played for the Rams, played for the Falcons, played for the Patriots.
I believe he had an all pro season or something.
I don't know if he had an all pro season. He was a solid starter. I don't think he was ever... But, you know, he's a guy... But his dream was professional wrestling.
Yeah.
That was the whole deal with him.
So, like, I'm not against looking, but you just can't rely on it. Like, look, Ronda made sense. Ronda was going to be there eventually, and everybody knew it. You know what I'm saying?
I just think a lot of these, and I'm not saying Kane or Ronda felt this way, but I think a lot of these MMA guys who, like, consider pro wrestling look at it like an easy payday. You know, they perceive it as easier than fighting. And I think...
And they get in there and it's not?
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's a good way. They look at it and they look down on it until they get in there and get humble real quick.
But I wouldn't be interested at all. Like, I could care less.
Like, Ronda made sense because it was always her thing. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She was always a wrestler, even when she was not. But, like, just don't rely on this. I can't care at all. I'd give it a chance. I wouldn't, like, not watch it because of it, but whatever. I stop relying on stars.
Okay, so even more news from the last batch of releases came out. 2 more names that are kind of a big deal. So Gerald Briscoe, he was a talent scout for WWE. He was furloughed. And Cain Velasquez, released, bought out from his contract. What do you make?
Cain never worked out. I mean, nobody's fault. He got injured. And then
happened. You can't even say that. They signed him injured,
but
they rushed the Brock match.
All this happened. It just didn't work out.
And
trust me, Briscoe will be taken care of.
Yeah, I'm sure Briscoe would be. Like you said, like they don't really need a talent.
They don't need to work right now.
I mean, they should be paying him still. Like I said, I've had that stance since day one, yeah. And I still remain on that stance. I know other companies are doing it. They're pieces of shit too. I'm not defending. You know what I mean? Like, everyone wants to be, well, what about Disney? What about, I think, who else? Bezos just, like, laid off, like, a fucking 14.
See, some companies I understand, because they're not Amazon. You know what I'm saying? But
well, WWE is not a mom-and-pop company.
No, it isn't. It isn't at all. But I think, you know what? I'm Jerry's in the inner circle. Not that inner circle. But I think he will be fine taken care of. And he's a job till he dies, so...
And if he doesn't have a job, there are plenty of other companies that use his service.
Oh my God. So I didn't want to say it. Although I think a certain other company could use someone like Jerry Briscoe.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Even if he goes to MLW.
Yeah.
Or he manages the Briscoes.
I don't know about that one. No. I think he's too old to be on the road every week like that. The Kane one is... I saw a lot of people saying they sacrificed Kofi for this. Kofi was losing to Brock regardless. Whether Kane came in or not, Kofi is losing that title on Fox to Brock. It sucks, but that's what was going to happen. It's just how it is. Kane, I would have liked to seen the AAA deal that he could...
No, you're good.
The AAA deal, what he did in AAA, if he could bring that to WWE. But, I mean, Sean Ross Sapp brought up a good point, too. He was protected in six-man tags. He's only in the ring for a few minutes at a time. So, of course, he looked good. Would Kane have ever worked out if he was healthy? Who knows, but... Overall, I got to look at Kane as a big flop, especially for the money they gave him. And I heard his contract buyout was very, very, very handsome. So Kane's doing fine financially, so.
Good for him.
Yeah. So kind of on the similar topic, WrestleVotes, very reliable source. They've been breaking stories since 2017 where they first broke the Neville walkout story. They said that WWE is at a point where they will basically grant almost anybody a release. So that makes me think like, you know, basically anybody that's not at the tippy top, if they ask out, they'll get out. And what do you make of this?
I mean, it gets rid of an entire narrative. I think it's genius by them.
I get sort of a narrative, but they're still controlling the narrative because if you get out right now, where are you going to go?
Oh, I know, but it gets... No, I don't think you understand what I meant. I mean, you can't say... You can't say they're holding them hostage. They're not letting anybody go anywhere. If this is out there,
well, I think
you ask your release, you get it. That's on you.
I think you can say that though, because they if business was as normal, I don't think they would offer this.
We'll see when it's back to normal.
I'm willing to wager a large sum of money that once it gets back to normal, it'll go back to where it was, where nobody's getting cut.
Okay, that's fine. But if it's not, if it stays like that.
If it's not, I will probably take back my words that this company didn't need to fire anybody. Because if they're still willing to let anybody go when shit gets back to normal, something's wrong.
Yeah.
Something's wrong. Because this company wouldn't operate for years not letting people go. They kept people on the payroll that had no business being
wasn't
on the payroll.
Wasn't JTG on the payroll for like 8 years and he wasn't on television?
He didn't get cut till 2014.
And he wasn't on TV for like 8 years, wasn't he?
That's a little bit of an exaggeration.
Like 6 years?
But he went 2 years without a televised match.
Jesus.
And he... So like this company just... doesn't cut people until, you know, times like this come.
But if that is, that gets rid of the narrative.
Like, I also think it'll make a liar of a lot of guys in the locker room who say they want out.
Well yeah, exactly.
They really want out.
You want out, it's yours. You can see it.
But at the same time, it's kind of a dick move just to do it during this.
Like, sometimes you got to retaliate.
It's them just trying to control the narrative.
Yeah, and that's fine. That's what people do.
All right, so... AEW, starting next Wednesday, the 6th of May, they'll be back to running live shows. What do you make of this?
Good, because I'm getting sick of seeing these people.
Yeah, I was sick of seeing the same crew. They already announced that...
if they can do it safely, go ahead.
Hardy will be back next week. He'll be teaming with Omega to take on Guevara and Jericho. Frankie Kazarian will be back. Mox will be back. So it'll be good to have some of these guys back. It is kind of funny that everybody was shitting on WWE for getting declared essential, but the act that got them essential is what's allowing AEW to run.
Yeah.
But once again, I don't blame AEW for it. You know, it's a business. You got to do, sometimes you'll make unpopular decisions.
Yeah, I just, it's a thing.
And
It's just they need a new thing. If they can do it safely, more the power to them. Especially as you look back to opening the country, which I think is a bad idea. But if you can't get behind if they do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but
if it is, it is.
I'm just concerned that I hope they don't try to fly in people that are like based in New York or anything, because that's probably not the best idea.
No, it's not.
Because I mean, even just to like get to an airport in that city, probably.
Yeah, you have to walk by a billion people.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Supposedly, MJF will be back. I know he's based in New York. We'll see how it goes.
We'll see how it goes.
And then the final piece of news this week. Marty Scurll, who we, of course, know is in charge of the booking of Ring of Honor now, said he is open to working with AEW, and it's pretty much on them to, you know, be down with it. Would you like to see a Ring of Honor AEW partnership?
No.
Why not?
Another booker. We're throwing another cook into this fucking kitchen.
I don't necessarily think that means Marty would have say of what goes on in AEW. But
I'm like, not even saying Marty. I'm just saying I just don't think they have figured out the booking for AEW yet, let alone that they have to book for two companies.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not against the wrestlers working together because a lot of matches you like to see, but I just don't see how it works at the top.
Fair enough. Because, yeah, there'd probably be politics about whose company's guy goes over and all, you know. I could see it potentially getting a little messy. But, you know.
That would literally be all Elite Wrestling. it would just be all of the Elite. But I understand, like, seeing the talent crossover, because I like to see them work with somebody else, because I have to say, the lower part of the AEW roster isn't that good. But
yeah, they can certainly use the depth.
If you could do a crossover dream, or, like, dream matches, or
A couple big cards a year,
yeah, that works. But I just don't like another cook in the kitchen at the top.
I think that's a fair take. I think everyone would like to see Marty back with the Elite. I would like to see it, so
I'm okay either way. I think he's doing a great job with AEW or with Ring of Honor.
Yeah, surprisingly, like Ring of Honor is the company that's handled in America is the company that's handled this pandemic the best. They're paying everybody. They canceled all the shows.
Yes, but they're
not rushing.
Sinclair has the money.
Well, yeah, I'm not. Yeah, of course.
Sinclair has the money.
Yeah, of course they do. But I'm just saying, like, when they're handling it, but they also don't have giant network contracts to please like AEW and WWE does. Yeah. So it's kind of apples
or months ahead of big building. Pro sports teams buildings booked.
It's kind of apples and oranges, but with the shape that Ring of Honor was in at the end of last year, and like everyone was talking about what a shitty place it is to work, it's nice to see that they've kind of turned the corner and like, you know, they're treating their boys
and girls
the right way.
Good on Marty.
Supposedly even people that were brought in for just like one shot and like weren't under any contract of any kind were still paid if that shot was canceled. So yeah, good on them. That's pretty much it for the news this week.
Well, that was a fun discussion.
Yeah, like you said, I think we got to dive back into the WWE mainstream discussion one day when we have time to put more research into it and all of that. But what I want to tell you about right now is Pro-Am Belts. If you want to do some research on getting a custom championship belt, Pro-Am Belts is where you should start.
Yes, it is. Tell them you're the belt, Mark.
I wouldn't say that. They have custom belts for
every occasion. You wouldn't say that?
Stop it. They have custom belts for every occasion, maybe, you know. Whatever you're looking for a custom belt for, Pro-Am Belts is the place to go. And use our promo code TBT15OFF. Once again, that is TBT15OFF to save 15%. And the website is proambelts.com. Go check our guys out, and we would appreciate it very much. Coming up next, we'll talk about NXT and AEW from this past week on the War Report. And then, of course, the main event of the evening. We'll unveil the Field of 64 for the second annual Mean Guy Classic. So stay tuned. Jesus, easy for me to say. The War Report for April 29th, 2020. We kick it off with a...
Alphabetically.
We start with AEW every week, and we will continue. AEW kicked off with a video package. Darby basically compared Cody Rhodes to the establishment, the corporate sheep. And, you know, Darby is like the dramatic, you know, underdog emo guy. And we kicked the night off with Cody versus Darby Allin. I enjoyed this match until the finish.
Excellent match. Awful finish.
See, I wouldn't even say awful finish.
Poorly executed.
Yes, finish. On paper, the finish was good, but it wasn't very well executed. The story was Cody tweaked his knee. Darby focused the attack on the knee the whole time. Very old school psychology. Basically, every Cody Rhodes match ever. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It's just when you're watching a Cody Rhodes match, odds are is there's going to be a limb that's chosen, and that limb is going to be worked on. And it's a simple story to tell, and it's an effective story to tell.
And Cody won because, once again, he is a Rose. He's a Rhodes.
Rose, Nyla.
Adam. But he...
Playboy buddy.
He can't win the big title, so he created a title and he's going to win that one.
Stop it. So Darby is going to charge Cody in the outside of the ring when Cody sidestepped and Darby trucked Brandy. And Darby tries to be a gentleman and a scholar and check on Brandy, but Cody just fucking boots him in the face. He don't give a shit about that bitch.
Shitty babyface.
Shitty babyface.
This man was trying to help his wife.
Yeah. Darby redeemed himself. He's no longer on the bad babyface list.
I don't know. He hogtied someone to the back of a quad. Like I said, some criminal mind shit. And I think it would have been better if the person was dead.
But that would probably mean homicide. I don't think it would have been better.
I mean, if you don't see him kill him, I mean, you got to be guilty. It has to be 100% proven.
So Brandy was escorted to the back, but she later returned and gave Cody a water bottle.
Shocker.
That didn't really add anything to the match. I just thought I'd note it. Darby tried to use Cody's own moves against him. He hit him with a crossroads. Cody kicked out.
He had a really nice crossroads.
He did. Darby locked in a figure four, still working on the knee. Cody got to the ropes, and then Cody caught a springboard moonsault, hit the crossroads. I thought it was over, but Darby kicked out. Cody wanted to steal a playbook from Darby's playbook. That didn't make any sense. A play from Darby's playbook. So Cody went up to the top rope, went for the coffin drop. Darby got his knees up.
He threw a nice. It looked weird looking with a bigger person doing it.
It did.
It looked. It was not even like in a bad way. It just looked interesting.
So then Darby went up for a coffin drop. He hits the coffin drop, but Cody rolled Darby up.
Kinda.
Nobody's shoulders down. Cody's shoulders weren't down. Darby's shoulders weren't down. Ref counted the three anyway. 1, 2, 3. Cody is going to Double or Nothing on May 23rd in the finals of the TNT. It's Dynamite Championship Tournament. Like I said, I thought it was an excellent story in the ring.
Yeah.
I don't. Like, I know a lot of people are like, oh, this loss killed Darby. I don't agree with that.
Neither do I.
At all.
This loss killed Darby in the same way that Ricochet losing to Brock Lesnar killed Ricochet.
I can't agree with that. I can't agree with that. Because, like, Ricochet was just straight up murdered. I don't think Ricochet was buried, but Ricochet's loss did more damage than this loss did.
Fair enough.
Ricochet got relegated to a tag team with Cedric Alexander.
Fair enough.
You are a different type of moron. Now, let me explain to you folks what this man just did. This man put his iPhone 11 Pro on top of his head.
Pro Max.
And I don't know why. And then the phone proceeded to fall off his head and hit the radiator and crash to the floor.
We're good.
That was something.
But, yeah, that was idiotic by me.
Yeah, I liked the match a lot. And, like I said, the finish was great on paper, but it was poorly executed.
I don't think it's even that great on paper. I don't know.
It's a way to protect both guys.
It is. But you could do that by just hitting a crossroads and winning. It's his finisher. He's going to a finals and his finisher can't beat a 165-pound person. And he expects to beat the person who won the next match.
All right, so we got the Scorpio Sky video package.
Had to say, great shit.
Yeah,
them have been fantastic.
I wish they do more of it. Especially with, I'm assuming not everyone in your audience is familiar with Scorpio Sky, so this is a great way to introduce him. I love Daniels and Kazarian, but Scorpio Sky has single star written all over him.
Yeah, Daniels is 100, Kazarian is 99, and they have a nice little thing there going, and Scorpio Sky is definitely the star.
And we got a little taste of that back in November when he faced Jericho for the title, and Scorpio Sky says he wasn't satisfied just to be there, he wants to be a fucking legend. We then go to, this is all out of order, so I'm just kind of jumping around. We go to MJF, he goes to a video package, talks about his hangnail being cured, but then as he was getting ready to return, another tragedy happened. He cut himself while shaving, and he has a foam neck brace on, and he says he'll overcome it and be back since he is the only hope AEW has left.
Once again, MJF being MJF is just, let him be him. He's excellent.
Wardlow defeats Musa. So Musa dropped Wardlow to a knee with a handspring heel kick, but then Wardlow hit probably the meanest knee strike I've ever seen.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
And then hit him with the F10, and Wardlow got the win. Simple as that.
F10. Fuck yourself.
I mean, it's a good name for the move. You know what I mean?
It is not.
It is.
It isn't.
It is.
It isn't. No, if it was naming the move, I'd be okay with it. But that, you know very well, that name has nothing to do with the move.
I mean, it really is just a bigger version of the F5.
Boo. Boo, boo, boo.
Up next, we got the Bubba Bunch. The Inner Circle is back. They do the Manitoba Melee, which is basically their version of like the Don't Rush Challenge.
They gotta copy everything WWE does.
Some notable names include Peter Avalon, Kevin Smith, Vicky Guerrero, Lou Ferrigno, Luther,
Keith Urban.
It was something.
Not Keith Urban, Keith Irvine, Chris Jericho's father. Yeah,
not Keith Urban. Very important.
Brad Williams.
Yes.
The dwarf comedian.
Yep.
And is dwarf accepted? I don't know. I think that's what they are, aren't they?
I don't know the political correctness of that
term. A little person comedian, I think is what it is. Gabriel Iglesias?
Fluffy? Yes, Fluffy was there.
It was Geeks Gone Wild is what this thing was.
Yes.
It was Jesus Christ.
I don't know how the fuck they got Lou Ferrigno. I'm just stumped.
The original Hulk!
Yeah, that one stumped me. I literally said, is that Lou Ferrigno?
He had a taser!
And that's what Jericho said after. He said, was that Lou Ferrigno with a taser? Stumped everybody.
And then Vicky Guerrero for some reason.
Yeah, she got pissed off and it ended.
Yeah, it was that just, let's not do that again. It was fun, but fuck you, Bobby Bunch.
I didn't hate it. It was just kind of,
was that?
I pop for Luther. I'm not even gonna lie.
Why?
Luther entertains me.
How? He's not done anything.
He doesn't need to. He's a
Japanese death math legend, and he hasn't done shit.
Death math. What is death math?
Never mess with a fat guy with a lisp, Tony. I'm thick and tired of it. But oh my god, death match champion Luther. Oh my god, he can go fuck himself. And he's Dr. Luther, and I refuse to believe they let him in medical school.
Well, he must have got stripped of his doctorate, because in AEW, he's just Luther. Maybe he had medical malpractice.
Fuck off, Luther.
So up next, the best friends take on Kip Sabian and Jimmy Havoc in a no-DQ match.
I think.
No, Jericho said on commentary is no-DQ. I was going to give him shit, but then Jericho said it was no-DQ. Maybe it was announced as no-DQ the whole time. Honestly, I wasn't paying attention. But Jericho said on commentary is no-DQ, so... Havoc throws a chair at Orange Cassidy's face, and Orange Cassidy was dead.
There's a lot of chairs throwing at faces in this match.
Yeah, Jimmy Havoc got a chance to be violent on national television, which I know is exactly what he was waiting to do.
And exactly what I wanted him not to do. I don't want Jimmy Havoc doing anything on national television.
The Blue Warner of Death was back. That is not a working ladder, folks. That is a shoot ladder. I think it was... Was it Chuck Taylor who got thrown into it where it bent and just snapped right back into place?
Yeah, it was comical. It was cartoonish.
That was a shoot ladder,
bro. It was, swear to God, it was made by Acme.
Yeah. So Havoc was setting up for a DVD on the ladder, but Orange Cassidy came back and got his revenge, throwing a chair back into Jimmy Havoc's face. Penelope Ford tried to attack Cassidy, but he avoided, and she collided with Kip Sabian. Chuck Taylor hit an awful waffle onto a pile of chairs for the victory.
Yeah.
I mean, if this match was your sort of thing, it was fun.
Yep. It's not my sort of thing.
Yeah, but, you know, it wasn't anything offensive.
No, it wasn't.
I'm not a fan of Chuck Taylor, so I did not enjoy this.
I'm not a fan of Jimmy Havoc, so I did not enjoy this. But it wasn't abysmal.
Yeah, it was fine. It was fine for what it was.
It wasn't last week.
I'm just glad the pile driver onto the chairs wasn't kicked out of.
Yes, very true.
So, what honestly might have been my favorite segment of the night, Britt Baker came back with another role model segment. The rule of the evening was not everybody could be a role model. No glasses wearers, no fat people, no wannabes, no snaggletooths. And every time she showed one of these examples, Tony Schiavone was the example. And Schiavone was stumped. He's like, I thought we were friends. I don't know what's going on with Britt Baker.
I don't know. She had them all over her office.
Yeah.
There's pictures of him and her.
Yeah.
Which are, I'm surprised they work together as much as they do. I enjoy Britt Baker now.
So Britt Baker has turned into an amazing heel. I love it.
I hated the segment at first, and then I realized what they were doing, and she was just a big bitch, and it was phenomenal.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I don't know. I'm assuming they're building to some babyface or shutting her up. I don't know who. Maybe.
Sheeta.
They did a segment with Swole, like, for 1 week, and then Swole kind of got locked down. So that kind of had to...
No, but Britt's taking this heel thing by the reins and is on his way.
Yeah, she's such a good heel, and... She's learning the role incredibly well. So up next, Sean Spears versus Baron Black. So Spears took control of the Spinebuster. He hit a C4 and a sharpshooter, and it was over. He tried to have a mean stare while putting him in the sharpshooter.
Guess what didn't work? Boring! Sorry.
So up next, I don't know how you feel about this, but I unironically love this. Technique by Taz. He broke down Lance Archer's blackout. I love it. He talked about hand placement and grip strength. Just hit watching him break down these wacky it wasn't as good as the V-trigger. Him breaking down the V-trigger was better, but I love Taz breaking down these wacky wrestling moves.
So like do that. I. It's actually, it's refreshing.
Like, they have, like, graphics and arrows, and it's fucking fantastic. Love technique by Taz. Can't wait to see what he breaks down next week. I hope it's a super kick. The angle of the foot. How wearing tassels on your boots somehow makes the kick.
He needs to be in the Booger Mobile when he comes back.
He does. Brody Lee versus Marco Stunt. Rest in peace, Marco. I don't know if this makes me a bad person, but I loved watching Brody Lee just beat the shit out of Marco Stunt.
Yeah, no, stay out of wrestling, pussy.
That's not even what I'm saying. I'm just saying this is very fun.
But does this make Lee look bad that he's beating up a child?
I don't know. He's a heel. Isn't that what heels do?
And I guess so.
So Stunt had a small flurry, but he ended up getting caught in a fucking swinging boss man slam, and it was fucking devastating.
I love that move. I thought he was dead after that.
Then Brody won with a sit-down powerbomb.
A hell of a sit-down powerbomb at that.
I mean, it was what it had to be, but like they built this match up for like 2 weeks, and then this is what we got. I mean, it's what it had to be, but like, why? I don't know.
Yeah.
John Moxley, promo package, he announced he will return to Dynamite Live next week. He said, call your grandmother.
Good shit. Yeah. I like this a lot. It was the champion's representative, and he was out there, and he cut a great, I'm not even calling it a promo, but he just talked for a while. And he was in Concrete City for some reason, and I just thought it was great. Really good shit.
Well, on Twitter, Excalibur claimed that Moxley did all that graffiti himself.
Oh, fucking course Excalibur did.
All right, so main event time. The other semifinal, for the TNT Championship Tournament. Lance Archer takes on your favorite wrestler of all time, Dustin Rhodes.
It's about damn time Dustin starts main event and shows multiple weeks in a row.
This was a mean guy match. Archer took control after booting a chair into Dustin's face. Dustin began bleeding from the forehead. So Archer had control until the end of the commercial break. That's when Dustin made his comeback, hit a code red. They started exchanging blows in the center of the ring again. Dustin has a big clothesline, power slam, crossroads, and then Archer kicks out at one.
I really liked that.
Yeah.
He got Dustin's entire comeback and kicked out at one.
Yeah, they're making Archer a monster.
And
cool.
Dustin's comeback is a great comeback. He has a drop-down uppercut, clothesline, twisting power slam, the best one in the history of the business.
So Archer hits a choke slam, followed by the old-school rope walk into a moonsault.
Which was disgusting.
Yeah. It's insane that, and he's a big boy. Like we've seen him in person.
You've seen him up close. Like he was
second
in
row.
But he wasn't even in the lobby when we were drinking
That's
beers.
True. Yeah,
so
he was.
Like he's one of the most gigantic. He takes up more space. Like I've seen bigger people, but like he just looks gigantic. Sheamus is like that too. I saw Sheamus up close and Braun after, and Braun was bigger, but he did not look bigger. Sheamus is gigantic.
Archer goes to the blackout. Dustin gets out of it, but Archer catches him with a choke slam instead. Then Dustin rolls him up in a crucifix, and Aubrey counts one. Two, and then she stops, but Archer still hasn't kicked out. Aubrey bailed him out there.
Oh, I mean, if he's going to lose to anybody, he might lose the greatest of all time, but...
But, you know, it is what it is. I guess Archer had to win.
It happens.
Yeah, you know, whatever. So Archer removes the turnbuckle pad. He smashes Dustin's head into it three times. Then QT Marshall runs out. He's thinking about throwing in the towel, but Cody comes out and stops him. Dustin pleads with them to let him continue. Then Archer drags him back in the ring and pounds his skull into the mat and pins him. I thought this was a great finish.
Mm-hmm.
It made Archer look like a fucking killer.
And you know what? It's not beating Stunt or jobbers. It's beating a legend.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a guy who just beat Kip Sabian last week. He's a mid-card guy who's on the rise.
But I mean, Dustin's a legend.
Yeah.
And they're building with a legend. So good for him. But no, this is a good way to end. Of course, I mean, as much as I would love to see Dustin and Cody go at it again.
I mean,
I thought their match was tremendous, but there's no way.
We knew this whole thing was building Archer Cody.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, of course we did.
So the Nightmare Family tends to Dustin, who is fucking bloody and battered, and the show fades to black with Archer standing tall, and it will be Archer versus Cody May 23rd at Double or Nothing.
Decent show.
Yeah, I enjoyed the show. It wasn't anything offensive.
No, decent show.
NXT, also April 29th, the opener, interim cruiserweight tournament match, El Hijo del Fantasma versus Isaiah Swerve Scott. Swerve was frustrated due to his loss to Tozawa. Swerve was able to channel that frustration. They had a back and forth match. Swerve caught Phantasma with a crucifix and got the W. After the match, Swerve promised this was the start of his comeback, and he was surely going to make NXT his house.
Good match. Swerve going over was a nice little surprise.
Yeah.
And Phantasma looked great in the loss. Phantasma's really good. He's really good.
Candice LeRae versus Casey Catanzaro. Yeah, I'm all in on heel Case, on heel Candice and heel Johnny. And I've said on the show that I'm critical of Johnny as a heel many times. But Johnny, given Candice the introduction he did, was awesome.
The number one wrestler at NXT and in my heart, fantastic.
Yeah. I love how he said that her foot is an acceptable form of birth control. I didn't know that line was PG.
Cunt punt.
Yeah, the old cunt punt. Candice LeRae used the Super Dragon Curb Stomp.
And it was Jesus Christ.
We had Super Dragon's finisher on NXT.
Well, she wrestled there, did she not?
Oh, yeah. She was a PWG legend.
Yeah.
But still, we had Super Dragon's finisher on NXT.
I wish the lights went out. He was just standing in the ring.
Would have been awesome. Or that one annoying guy. Like, Noah's in the crowd. That one annoying guy. Super Dragon. You ever see that video?
Yeah.
Oh, of course. After the match, and by the way, she calls it the Wicked Stepsister. So great name.
Great name for a move. Great. I love the hair change. Because she was like Miss Babyface.
Yeah, and now she has...
and now she has purple hair and she just looks like a bitch.
And she has black lipstick.
Yeah, she just looks like a bitch.
Afterwards, she puts Catanzaro in the Gargano Escape as Johnny Gargano just looks on so happy. He is so happy to watch his wife put the Gargano Escape on this
He was proud. Good shit.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Up next, the Newly Bros Show with Matt Riddle and Timothy Thatcher. Byron Saxton was the host. This was wacky as hell. Matt Riddle was made for this.
Oh, yeah. Matt Riddle is number one in our hearts.
Yes.
Number two on NXT in my hearts for me.
Matt Riddle somehow managed to guess that Thatcher did not own a TV, but he might buy one. And then they asked Thatcher where the weirdest place he had a wrestling match was. And at first he said, in a professional wrestling ring. But there was one time that he had a triple threat match that was competed inside of a laundry mat. And then Riddle unveils what he wrote on his whiteboard. And it said, 3-sum S-U-M. On a washer. I howled. I didn't know you could say that on NXT. But Marcel Bartel and Fabian Aichner put an end to the fun and games.
Walter Thatcher was thrilled.
Yes. You can tell that Thatcher legitimately hated all of this, but it was awesome. I'm happy because I really do like Bartel and Aichner as a tag team, but I really want a Bivens Enterprises to feud with these guys because I want more Malcolm Bivens on my TV set.
Me too. Maybe we'll get there.
I miss him. We need more Malcolm Bivens. You notice Malcolm Bivens shows up in NXT wins the ratings. It's not a coincidence.
You're right, it's not.
Charlotte Flair versus Mia Yim. I guess before we get to this, Adam Cole got a promo backstage on The Dream. He promised to remain the greatest NXT champion in history, and they announced that Dream versus Cole is on for next week.
Okay, so that's good. Looking like Dream might be out of the water.
Yeah, that's a whole situation that we're going to wait to comment on until we know all the facts.
Yes.
So, Mia Yim versus Charlotte Flair. Mia Yim got a lot of offense in on this one.
Charlotte giving her, you know, not a receipt, but Charlotte gave her a couple flurries.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Charlotte hit a Boston Crab big boot. Mia Yim fights out of all that. She hit the soul food on her. She went for Protect Your Neck, but Charlotte avoided it. Got in the figure eight and tapped Mia Yim out. This is a much more competitive match than I made it sound like, but we've always said we both like Mia Yim. She's just stuck in what might be the deepest women's division. Well, not the deepest. Definitely the deepest women's division. Might be the deepest division in all of wrestling.
Yeah, she's great, but there's people. I mean, you have...
And now Charlotte Flair's there.
This was the best wrestling. This was the best wrestling division in the world at the beginning, and the best women's wrestler of all time entered the fucking division.
I didn't know Toyota was here.
Continue.
So Io Shirai comes out. She challenges Charlotte to a title match that she's entitled to next week. Charlotte accepts, and then a promo package airs that says Karrion Kross and Scarlett are coming because the clock is struck 12.
Yep. And I can't wait because that's going to be good shit. And also, can I bring up something about Charlotte Flair?
Yeah.
She's the opposite of her father.
What's that?
Her father was the heel nobody could hate, and she's the babyface nobody can like.
I guess she's a babyface. I don't know what she is.
I told you, she's the opposite of her father. Her father was the heel no one could hate, and she's the babyface no one could like.
But is she a babyface?
I think so.
But isn't Mia Yim a babyface? But Io Shirai's a heel? I don't know. Maybe it's like, maybe we don't have babyfaces and heels anymore.
We could also just, it's like Brock. What's Brock?
I guess it depends on who she's feuding with.
Yeah, I mean, I love Brock.
So here we go. It's time. Shane Thorne versus Dexter Lumis.
Let's fucking go.
All aboard the Loomis train, baby.
I'm on the Loomis train. We are the conductors. We are starting a revolution. I am printing out the pamphlets.
So Shane Thorne brought the fight to him, but Dexter Loomis was impervious to pain.
He hit a This motherfucker didn't blink the entire match.
He hit a wicked spine buster before locking...
He has a great spine buster.
Before locking in the arm triangle. Thank God for Morrow, because fucking Tom Phillips called it a fucking anaconda vice for 2 weeks in a row. And it's not an anaconda vice. An anaconda vice hurts the arm. An arm triangle is a choke. And of course Dexter Loomis is going to choke. He's a fucking psychopath. And once he chokes you out, he'll caress your head and make sure you come back to life.
And not blink at all.
And crawl into the ring like a weirdo, which I love.
Although he wasn't creeping around the rest of the night, and that made me upset.
It's so disappointing. What the fuck is his issue with the Undisputed Era? There are so many unanswered questions at Loomis.
I think that's the point! Yeah. What's he doing?
Loomis is looming.
He's looming! What does he do? He entered a match he wasn't in last week!
I can't...
And he didn't enter, he just showed up!
If that guy gets on the apron and makes a tag, are you gonna tell him no?
No, you're right!
Are you gonna tell him no?
I think he's big. Is he big? I don't know!
Dude, look at him, he's a fucking psychopath! Someone's like, why'd the ref allow Loomis in the match? Well, would you not allow him in the match? Look at him!
He's named after two serial killers! Well, one serial killer doctor.
Yeah. He is.
Right? It's got to be Dexter and then Samuel Loomis from Halloween.
I'd assume that's where the inspiration came from. I mean, it makes sense.
Because he was Sam Shaw, right? So there's no connection there.
Yes.
I think his name actually is Sam Shaw. But
Dexter Loomis is a great name,
though. It's a great name.
Is Titan Shaw just like those eyes? Oh, my God. Everything about him is money.
He is just... He didn't play the entire fucking match.
Put every title on him right now.
Every promotion.
Let him beat Charlotte.
Let him beat Charlotte. Because he doesn't give a fuck.
No. He doesn't see.
I want Gronk to hold this all the way through the football season. And so he scores a touchdown.
Imagine him crawling on the field.
Loomis is just standing in the tunnel looking at him. I want them to go all the way with this because he's great and he can back it up. He can back it up in the ring.
All right. Drake Maverick versus Tony Nese. Tony Nese is in total control for most of the match. He shows no mercy to Drake Maverick. Beats the shit out of him in the corner, taunting him, talking shit. Drake Maverick finally fires back. He hits a Dudley Dog for a near fall.
He's a great Dudley Dog.
Shout out to Spike Dudley.
I think we talked about this last week.
Yeah. Maverick tried to follow up with a diving elbow, but Nese got his knees up. Then Nese went for a 450, but Maverick gets out of the way. He then hits a top rope bulldog for the victory. And then Maverick cuts a fucking fiery promo. He says he believes in himself and he's not leaving until he is NXT Cruiserweight Champion. I am so confused. I don't know what's going on.
Neither do I, but I loved every minute of it.
See, I don't know how I feel about it, because, like, I feel like either way it's bad.
I don't know. I think we have to see the end before we can talk. Like, if he's still released, he's released. They let him do the tournament he was already announced for. And they played into a very popular Twitter video.
But I don't
know. But, I mean, think about it. It's kind of his fault. I mean, if he doesn't put that Twitter video out, he's not doing this.
I mean, he'd still be doing the tournament, but...
But, like, he just...
But they're the ones who booked him for the bump.
Channel.
They're the ones who booked him for the bump. They're the ones who gave him the platform. You know what I mean?
But, like, it's... Wrestling's always been taking advantage of this shit. I just don't think you can pickpocket us out, but if he does get released and then comes back in, I don't know, 8 months, it's fine. Because I think they like him. They just sit tight. Your job will be here, son.
Main event time.
Great promo after. I'm not fucking leaving.
Yeah, great promo. Keith Lee versus Damian Priest. Keith Lee was dominating, throwing Damian Priest around like he was a fucking sack of flour. This match was mostly Keith Lee. It was weird.
This match was good.
Priest finally turned the tide with the Falcon Arrow that he calls the Broken Arrow. He had a series of big kicks, including a spinning back kick, but then Lee hit a superplex out of nowhere. Priest brought the nightstick again, but Lee stole the nightstick and slowly handed it to the referee, which I loved.
I don't know why you said I am limitless when I did it. That was bizarre. It's absolutely bizarre.
Keith Lee does a lot of bizarre things.
He is. He's an anime freak.
He's basically a Dragon Ball Z character that's a wrestler.
Yeah.
He hit a pair of spirit bombs, got the win, retains the goal. Gold. Keith Lee is a total package. I'm happy that he's having success, but can we please move him on to someone besides Dijakovic or Priest?
Who would you do it to? I guess that was my answer, yeah, but who?
I mean, I'm trying to think of heels on the NXT roster. They go back to Roddy Strong, and that'd be good, but we've seen that. I mean, what heels? Him and Gargano could be fun, but I think they have...
Was Johnny already North American champion?
He was.
He was, right?
He held it for like 5 days and then lost it to Dream.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Does Dream beat Cole and then Cole goes after him?
I don't know. I think Cole's going to stay. Even if Cole loses the title, I think he's still going to stay in that title picture for a while.
Yeah, that's true.
Just like, I don't even know any heels on NXT off the top of my head that could, you know.
Yeah, I just like, you have to put the champion on TV, but you know he has great chemistry and great matches in history with these guys, so just keep doing it.
Yeah, but I don't know.
I would like it to change too, but I just don't think there's another option right now. Am I right? You're right, Mike. Thank you.
Let him and Finn go at it for a little bit.
Finn's after Walter.
Walter's stuck in fucking England.
That'd be my pick.
Walter's stuck in... Well, not in England. He's probably not. Walter's stuck in Austria.
Well, where's Finn?
He was on NXT 2 weeks ago. Oh, he's obviously in America.
He's in Florida, yeah.
And they announced him for the show next week.
Okay. You let Finn go after him.
So, like, obviously Walter and Finn's the plan, but I'm assuming they're not going to do it until October or take over Dublin.
Yeah.
So, let him go after Keith Lee for a little bit. I don't know. All right, MVP time. Who's your AEW MVP, NXT MVP, overall MVP, and who's the show of the week?
AEW MVP, or show of the week, NXT. Thought it was better, top to bottom. More quality matches. And I'm not saying, and I'm not shitting on AEW. I actually like the show quite much. It wasn't one of their best, but it certainly was in the top tier. Not top tier. Better, more good than bad.
Probably their best show with this crew.
Yes. Okay, that's a good way to put it. Their best show with the non-arena in this crew.
Yes.
My AEW is Britt Baker, because she's fantastic. My NXT is Candice LeRae and Johnny Gargano as a package, because couldn't pick one, because both of them did their parts and all that. Johnny announcing and Candice beating the shit out of Casey. And my overall is Mox, because I really, really enjoyed that package.
Wow.
I really, really enjoyed that package. So NXT, Britt Baker for NXT is a better show. Britt Baker for AEW MVP, Candice and Johnny for NXT MVP, and Mox for overall MVP.
Okay, so I'm also picking NXT as a better show. I swear to God, I like AEW a lot too, but I don't know. Like you said, NXT just did more for me this week. AEW MVP is Lance Archer, way to make him look like a killer. I'm with you 1,000%, Candice and Johnny. And my overall MVP is Drake! Drake Maverick, feel-good story of the millennium, has to be overall MVP, so. That's the War Report this week. Coming up next, the moment you have all been waiting for, we will unveil the format and the participants for the Mean Guy Classic 2. Bigger, badder, meaner. So stay tuned. So, you probably heard the news if you've listened to this entire episode and you see the title. The Mean Guy Classic is back for the second year, baby.
And better than ever.
Got a knack for making things better.
Equally, because this is better than one.
So, do you want to explain the new format?
How about you give a little history on it first for somebody who might not have heard the first one?
So, I don't know how to describe a mean guy. Like, you just know a mean guy when you see one. Now, a mean guy doesn't mean a heel. A mean guy doesn't necessarily mean a giant. It's more of, like, a style.
It's if they're stacked.
Yeah. It's like, for example, some of the folks in the first Mean Guy Classic, Minoru Suzuki, Tomohiro Ishii, Kevin Owens, the Vintner, who will not be back, unfortunately, but all examples of great mean guys.
It's hard-hitting bastards.
So what we do is we take all of the mean guys that we have chosen in this tournament, we seed them, we match them up, and then we leave it to the fine folks on Twitter to decide who is the meanest of them all. And last year, they made the wrong choice. But they get a chance for redemption this year.
The person we built the tournament around made the finals and lost.
And lost by a lot.
It is legitimately like the Brawl for All.
Except he didn't tear an ACL in it, thank
you. And his career didn't end.
Yes. Oh, his career took off, baby.
But I believe that this one's even be bigger, badder, and meaner.
Want to tell him why?
Because instead of going 32 current wrestlers, we have Kevin Owens returning champion and 31 other current wrestlers on one side of the bracket, placed in the two brackets. So there'll still be four brackets, basic NCAA tournament style. And on the other side, the other 32 are legends.
Yes.
And we pulled out the best of the best. Some guys you would think of and some guys you wouldn't, but are absolute mean guys.
Not the best of the best. The worst of the worst, because these are mean guys, baby.
And I'm very excited, so somewhere around last June, so we're somewhere almost a year around it.
It was like right after Mania last year. We're a little late to the party. Yeah, but it's all right.
So, with that being said, the contestants of the current wrestlers in the Mean Guy Classic 2, Bigger, Badder, Meaner, consists of this. Returning champion.
Why the Mean?
Kevin Owens. Jacob Fatu, the Samoan werewolf. Jeff Corn on the Cob.
Stop it.
Togi Makabe. Braun Strowman. Luchasaurus. Lance Archer.
Couple first time in the lines.
Evil Uno.
First time in the line.
Damian Priest.
First time in the line.
Rhino.
First time in the line.
Baron Corbin.
First time in the line.
The Fiend.
First time in the line, baby.
Shingo Takagi.
Oh my god. The Mean Guy Championship. If you don't know, the Never Open Weight Championship is the official Mean Guy Championship.
Yeah, how many times has Yuji held it?
Fucking, like, if you just look at the history, all of the New Japan Mean Guys have held it. It's great.
Brody Lee.
First time in the line.
Sheamus.
First time in the line.
The Stone Pitbull, Tomohiro Ishii.
Making his second return, coming off of a Fatal 4 appearance.
Joe Coffey.
Also second time in the line. Lost first round last year.
Volter.
Our finalist, who we built this whole goddamn thing around, and you people let us down.
Moose.
Also making his second Mean Guy Classic appearance.
Ivar.
Also making his second Mean Guy Classic appearance.
Pierre Carl Ule, also known as PCO.
He's not human, and he is back for his second Mean Guy Classic.
The King, Minoru Suzuki.
He is also making his second Mean Guy Classic appearance.
Yuji Nagata.
Another one. Blue Justice back for a second Mean Guy Classic.
Big Mike Elgin.
Big Mike, second Mean Guy Classic.
Keith Lee.
Second Mean Guy Classic for Mr. Lee.
Well, he's limitless, so he'll be in all of them.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Dominik Dijakovic.
The man who we seen it against Keith Lee last year.
Amazingly.
Yes. Amazingly, I see what you did
the
there.
Samoan submission machine, Samoa Joe.
The Samoan commentating machine makes his second Mean Guy Classic appearance.
Karrion Kross.
You played the wrong orchestra music. You know what orchestra music you should have played.
Dave and Dave Mastiff, the Bomber.
Dave and Dave?
Dave Mastiff, the Bomber, and Mr. TikTok himself, Karrion Kross.
Both of those fellows are making their second Mean Guy Classic appearance.
And now we go over to the Legends bracket. Earthquake.
Big John Tenta, the Shark.
Vader.
Some say the original Mean Guy. Well, we should specify, this is modern era, 1985 to present.
Very, very good clutch. Good yes. Clutch call. Scott Steiner, Big Papa Pump.
Holler if you hear me.
Bam Bam Bigelow. If you close your eyes and think of a Mean Guy, you get Bigelow.
Athletic Mean Guy.
Stan Hansen.
Lariat. That's all you gotta say.
Bruiser Brody. Hell of a knife head shop. Dr. Death Steve Williams. Bam Bam Terry Gordy.
Great tag team in Japan, those two.
The greatest of all time, Kane.
Don't let me down, Twitter.
The from Death Valley, The Undertaker. Well, it's the Big Show.
Show.
Andre the Giant. Yokozuna.
Surprisingly, only the second member of that family in this tournament so far.
The World's Strongest Man, Mark Henry. Abyss.
Dark Horse.
The Iron Sheik. Cactus Jack, and only Cactus Jack.
Yeah, I don't think dude loves a mean guy.
Sid, any version of Sid. For Christ's sakes, he stabbed Arn Anderson.
That is true.
Meng slash Haku. The Barbarian.
The Ball Bearing, baby.
Bradshaw slash John Bradshaw Layfield. Ron Simmons slash Farouk.
Damn, that's all you gotta say.
The One Man Gang slash Hakeem the Dream. Not that dream. Hakeem the African Dream. Not Elijah One. The Junkyard Dog. Jim the Anvil Neidhart. Big John Studd. King Kong Bundy.
I heard he doesn't tip.
Road Warrior Hawk. Abdullah the Butcher. Scott Norton.
Another dark horse.
The Big Boss Man. And Barry Windham.
So those are the 64 men that will be competing for the title of Meanest Mean Guy. So, early tournament favorites. Who you got coming out of the Legends bracket? Who you got coming out of the current day bracket?
I'm going to go Stan Hansen. And I think Walter returns.
I'm saying Vader. I'm saying Vader and Kevin Owens. Those people love fucking Kevin Owens.
Yes, they do. So, we will have seeding next week on the podcast.
Yeah, I think we made the decision that we are going to seed live on the podcast. It could get intense because we're going to have to agree on where to seed all 64 of these men. And we should make it clear, the left side of the brackets will be current day, and the right side of the brackets will be Legends.
And there will be those will be broken into divisions.
Yeah, so there will be four brackets, obviously.
Average tournament.
Yeah, just any tournament you've ever seen. But what I'm basically trying to say is, like, there won't be any Legend versus current day interaction until a final.
Yes, that's the way we got to do it.
Yeah.
And if you want to rebook it, we can rebook it later. I don't know.
Yeah, it's our tournament. This is the second one we did. Last year was a rousing success. Kevin Owens, the shocker. I did not see him winning.
Yeah, he was like a 6 seed, wasn't he?
I think he was a 4 seed.
I think he might have been a 5. I think he was lower than a 4.
I think he was a 4. Because
Dave Matthews. Dave Mastiff was the 4 seed.
The Dave Mastiff band. I have the bracket here. Give me.
So I believe Dave Mastiff was a 4 seed in that division. I think Kevin Owens was the 5 seed because I think he upset Dave Mastiff right off the bat.
Let me go back in my photos and pull up the bracket.
But who do you like?
I just told you. I think it'll be Kevin Owens and Vader, and I think old school will prevail, and Vader will be the winner of the second annual Mean Guy Classic.
Who is the dark horse?
Kevin Owens was the 5 seed. Michael Elgin was the 4 seed.
So who's the dark horse in all this?
Oh, the dark horse.
On each side.
On the Legend side, I really think there's this might sound crazy, but I really think there's a lot of Scott Norton marks out there.
There might be.
I think there are. And I hope people support my boy Shingo. Shingo is probably my favorite current day mean guy at the moment.
I mean, you can't possibly be built like a square.
He's a refrigerator. He's a human refrigerator.
He is square. I'm not lying. We saw him live up close and personal.
Yeah.
He is a square, and he is absolutely a mean guy. I'm very excited to see
him. You would not call him a square to his face.
No, I fucking would not, which more bolsters his reputation as a mean guy.
Yeah.
Be catching one of those fucking forearms, bud.
But yeah, Kevin Owens' path to the finals. He beat Michael Elgin, then he beat Keith Lee. Then he beat Minoru Suzuki, and he finally beat Walter in the final. Hell of a path.
Hell of a path.
Hell of a path for Kevin Owens.
It's like a mean guy gauntlet match.
That is.
How'd Walter get there?
Let's see. Walter beat Ace Romero, then he beat Moose, then he beat Jeff Cobb.
He definitely had the easier path.
Yeah. But last year it was just 32 men. This year it'll be 64 men. So it'll be interesting. New school versus old school. Well, I guess there's kind of some old school on that side, too, with Rhino and Yuji Nagata. But technically, they're still active. So I cannot wait to see what transpires in the Mean Guy Classic 2. Bigger, badder, meaner. And I would probably guess that the first round of voting will probably start, like, May 16th-ish. Because we're putting this out on the 1st. Next week, we'll reveal the brackets on the 8th. And then probably the week after, we'll start the voting. Yep. So, we'll probably have the first run results on the 15th.
Yep, I'm very excited.
Yeah, a lot of fun last year. A lot of fun to see who Twitter likes to see who the meanest of the mean are. So yeah, the Mean Guy Classic is set into motion.
It is, and I'm very excited. So, that is our show for today. I'm very happy about it. We had some great conversation. It was a little refreshing that we both were, seemed a little more, I'm not going to say excited, but we both were on our game today, I think. What do you think?
I don't know. I like to let the people judge.
Yeah, that's true, too.
I know when I have a bad show, but I never know. I don't know when I have a good show.
That's a good way to put it.
Like, I know, I mean, last week's show is last week's show. So, like I said, last week's show was the shits. And, like, I knew it as soon as we stopped recording. But, like, there was, like, one or two times when I knew a show was a home run. But, like, most of the time, if I have a good show, I really don't, like, tend to, like, think, oh man, that was a killer show.
No, we're our biggest critics.
But when I have a bad show, I'm like, oh, that was the shit.
Like we've had rely on other people telling us good show, bad show, because we're our biggest critics.
Yeah, of course. So, that's how you should be. You should always be striving for greatness.
Yep. So that's it for today. Come back in a minute. Tony will get us out of here with the fam, and we'll see you next week.
So thank you for joining us this week on another edition of the Champions Advantage podcast. Make sure you follow everybody in the Turnbuckle Topics Network on Mondays. It's Top of the Rope Wrestling Radio on CBS Sports Radio with our boy Gil. You can find him at Cuda_Jr. Tuesdays, except when it's Fridays, which is for the foreseeable future until we figure out what our work schedule is going to be. Look at that man. Mike just flashed a picture of Scott Norton in front of me, and I cannot contain myself. What a mean guy. On Tuesdays/Fridays, it's us at Champions Pod. Make sure you follow us there if you don't already. Wednesdays, it's the Bearded Wrestling Podcast with at Bearded Chris P. He's your guy to go to for all of the Impact news and notes. I guarantee he'll be voting for Rhino and Moose. And on Thursdays...
And Abyss.
And Abyss. Abyss could be a dark horse, too.
He could. He really could. He's a, Mr. Park has a lot of followers.
Yeah. And on Thursdays, it's a rundown with at Ron_Musto_Jr. And at Linz Be Honest X. And of course, follow everybody, or the entire network, I should say, at TT_4U. And that is our show this week, ladies and gentlemen, and children of all ages. So tune in next week, where we'll have a Money in the Bank preview. We will seed the AEW, not the AEW, we won't seed the AEW, we'll seed the Mean Guy Classic.
They have rankings, Tony.
I know, that's why I was...
They have rankings.
I know. So we can seed them too if you want.
They're bullshit, they're based on fact.
Let's not get into this. So we will seed the Mean Guy Classic next week. I'm sure there will be some arguments over some seedings. Hopefully it's not a complete clusterfuck, but we will find out. And then, of course, as always, it'll be the War Report. Big episode of NXT next week. Cole versus Dream, Charlotte versus Io, and then AEW has Les Sex Gods versus Matt Hardy and Kenny Omega, and Kazarian versus Jon Moxley. So it should be some exciting action of wrestling next Wednesday. We'll give our pick for who will climb the corporate ladder and much more. So tune in next week for another edition of Champions Advantage.